Bring on Danny West of hogsports.com. It's the overtime recruiting roundup. And Danny, good afternoon. How are things?
Afternoon. Great to be back on with you guys again this week.
Likewise. Good to have you. Couple of practices after we spoke to you last, a scrimmage on Saturday and then a practice Tuesday. They will practice again tonight. Your thoughts on Saturday's scrimmage first?
Yeah. Well, I'll start with offense. I think they're still really slowly coming on offense. I think they're behind in the passing game. We heard Jim Chaney say that on Tuesday, and I think a lot of factors go into that. First of all, you're trying to replace Tyler Wilson and find a starting quarterback. He's trying to learn a new offense, and he's got a lot of question marks around him. You've lost your top two running backs, your top wide receiver, your top tight end. So right now they're still really slowly progressing on offense. You know, the defense is throwing some blitzes and different things at them. So obviously, you know, that's a pretty good first team defensive line to be going against. And of course, you're replacing three offensive linemen up front. So right now the defense is ahead of the offense. I think you have to like that defensive line. You know, Trey Flowers, Chris Smith, Byron Jones, Robert Thomas. That's a pretty high-quality SEC defensive line, in my opinion. So I think you're also seeing Dietrich Wise, you know, a backup defensive end, and Darius Filon at defensive tackle start to come on. So, you know, in short, the defense is ahead of the offense. They're still trying to become more physical offensively, more explosive. And, of course, I think it'll help, you know, once Alex Collins gets on campus, maybe even Denzel Evans. Because right now you've got Jonathan Williams and a bunch of other guys. I mean, it's that much separation at running back. And, you know, Jonathan's actually averaging over 5 yards a carry over these first two scrimmages. And the next highest average, guys, is Kiro Small at 2.6. So I think that tells you a lot about the running game so far. But just a slow process right now, guys.
Yeah, I agree with you that I think Alex Collin is one of those guys that are coming in that will really help. And what about the tight ends? You know, do you still see Hunter Henry being able to come in and be in that two deep depth chart?
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't think they have a legit threat in the passing game. You know, they've got some guys who can go out and run a little hitch or out routes. But as far as stretching the field, like you saw with DJ and Chris Gregg, I think Hunter Henry's probably going to be the only one of that group who can really do that. So I would imagine they're really looking forward to getting him up here.
Danny West of HogSports.com joins us on the Arkansas Mailing Services hotline here on Overtime with Matt Jones and Trey Schaap. Danny, obviously a practice today and then another scrimmage on Saturday. Brett Bielema opening up last Saturday scrimmage to the fans, and I know it was late notice to the fans, but talk about the crowd that showed up last Saturday.
Yeah, I think Trey and I estimated it probably around 400. Of course, we're terrible at estimating crowds, so take that for what it's worth. But yeah, I thought that was a pretty good idea on Bielema's part, and I'm kind of expecting him to go ahead and do that again this week. We haven't heard anything for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me if he does it again Saturday. You know, just a way to let the fans feel like they're more involved, and that's never a bad thing in my opinion.
Who so far, Danny, out of the practices, if the coaches have said anything or if you've seen, is somebody that maybe really wasn't on the radar but has kind of surprised you and is looking like they might be a starter this year?
Ooh, very good question. Let's see. That is an outstanding question, Matt. I would start at linebacker.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think Dante Carr at middle linebacker, you know, that's obviously a huge concern going into the season. They've just kind of thrown him into the fire there, and I think he's responded well. Offensively, maybe Mitch Smothers has really impressed them so far. They really like that tight end group. I want to go back to that. Alex Volsky, you know, Brad Taylor, some of those guys, you look at it and say, oh, they're walk-ons, but they've given them a pretty good look, and I think they were pretty excited to what they walked in with there at that position. At wide receiver, I think they really like the wide receiver group of the three seniors, Demetrius Wilson, Javonte Herndon and Julian Horton. I think maybe they've surprised them a little bit. But other than that, Patrick Arends at running back maybe has surprised them. Big physical guy. Kind of had the same junior college story as Kiero Small. And let me tell you, he had the best hit I've seen all spring last Saturday. He met in the hole with Robert Atiga, and, I mean, it was a collision. So I think they really like his physical, you know, downhill type play, and they're kind of using him as the example of what they want to be, you know, with their running backs.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see out of your linebackers, especially when they're getting a chance to scrimmage. And they have seen these plays, so it's not like they're running a new play. You want them to react and go in the hole and really make physical tackles. And you know just as well that when a running back keeps getting hit like that and they know that, then they're kind of looking for you a little bit. So, yeah, I hope the linebackers keep that up.
Danny, Jim Chaney talked about being physical and trying to be more physical than what obviously the team was last year. And I know you've seen a couple of practices, you've seen some scrimmages. How physical has this football team been?
I think more than anything, the effort stands out. They're not always doing the right thing, but you can tell they're really going at it hard and trying to please the coaches and trying to stand out, you know, on film. You know, it's a little bit sloppy right now. They've still got a lot to clean up. But as far as effort and trying to be physical, I think it's there. They're really running a lot of inside run stuff right now, and, of course, that makes everybody better. A defensive line, linebackers, everybody. So I think they're taking strides with that. But, again, I go back to running back. They just really don't have a whole lot of help there. I mean, you look at the Keontae Minor project, and he's rushed 10 times in two scrimmages for a total of 3 yards. You know, Nate Holmes is another guy. He's averaging 1.7 yards a carry. So they're trying to run those guys up the middle. But, again, Alex Collins, I hope he's ready. I hope he's ready. And probably Denzel Evans, too.
And Danny, I don't know how much you've kept up with any of the players that are entering the draft, because I know you're working hard on the recruiting. But have you heard anything on any of the players that are going to enter the draft this year in football, where they might be going and who the first player will be taken from Arkansas in the draft?
You know, I haven't heard any specifics. I will say that, and you guys have probably heard this too, Buffalo seems to be really high on Tyler. I'm not sure what round, you know, maybe they're looking at him, but he would probably be my first guess as far as first off the board. You know, hey, I've heard Pittsburgh of all teams too, so that kind of came as a surprise to me. I know Dallas likes him a little bit, but Buffalo seems to be the strong one there for Tyler.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh would be a great fit for him because he wouldn't have to play right away, and Big Ben
right.
has struggled staying healthy all year. So I really think that a good place for Tyler would be a spot with a veteran quarterback where he can learn and see the proper way to go about it, because Tyler is a hard worker. He's a good leader. You know he's going to be in there in the film room studying. Pittsburgh is a great organization. Now, Buffalo, like what you're saying, I think they pick early in the second round and probably early in the third. I don't know if they've made trades and have other picks, but
sure.
That would be a spot. I think Tyler would definitely be there early in the second and possibly early in the third. And I wonder how many of these teams with the quarterbacks, there's five or six of them that are all around the same after you take out Geno Smith, if they start moving up to try to get somebody and see where he falls. But, yeah, I tend to agree that I think I would like to see Tyler go somewhere with a proven veteran quarterback that he can learn from.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think, you know, a lot of people have already forgotten about Ryan Mallett, but I think that's going to end up paying off for him, you know, here in the next year
right.
or two. And like you said, Big Ben is not getting any younger. Every year around, you know, the first week of October, it seems like he's got an injury to deal with. So that would be a good spot for him. I just hate to see these Arkansas kids go up to where it's just freezing cold. And I think Buffalo would be extremely cold. Matt, how would you feel, you know, back in the day when they drafted you to Jacksonville? How would you have liked to have been in, you know, Buffalo, a place like
that? Well, yeah, we played Buffalo, but we played them early in the year. But I'll tell you, Danny, we played Cleveland. and it was cold. We played Philly 1 year late when it was cold, and both of our playoff losses were at New England, you know, and that's in January. And so it's cold, and your first, you know, month and a half of the season, it's probably ideal to be up there. But you're right, the last half of the season, it gets cold up there.
That's rough.
Danny, you've seen Brett Bielema now for a couple of times through practice, and just talk about the difference and not the, I guess, the attention to detail that Bobby Petrino would have in his practices, but the differences that you're seeing, maybe some little things, not the big things, because I know everybody knows that Bobby would used to have a 170-play scrimmage, and Brett Bielema is not going to get over 100 plays. But just some of the little things that he's doing differently, whether it might be a drill or technique or something that he wants the players to learn differently than what the previous staff wanted them to learn.
Well, I think it starts with the whole offensive philosophy. You know, up front, that's the first thing you notice. It really jumps out at you. He won't run a passing play five times in a row just to make sure that the receiver catches it for 50 yards, you know, gained. One of the most interesting things from this past week was the reggae music. You know, if you get technical about it, that's probably something that you probably would have never seen at a Razorback practice under Bobby Petrino. They come out and they're stretching with reggae and, you know, all the different types of music playing in the background. I thought that was pretty cool. It's not a more relaxed practice in terms of tempo and physicality, things like that, but I don't know. For me, I never enjoyed going out there and hearing a bunch of F-bombs and, you know, the GDs and stuff like that. You don't hear that a lot anymore. I mean, they're still getting after it. It's SEC football, but for the most part, that's what I've seen so far. One thing they do a little different than Bobby, they like to go backwards a lot of times in terms of scrimmage. You know, if it's third down, the next down they may go back to a different situation on second and long, and then from there go back to first down. So I thought that's a little bit different, but, you know, they don't steadily keep the chains moving. But for the most part, that's about it.
What about some of the assistant coaches? Sam Pittman. I mean, what's he like? What's he doing with the offensive line?
Oh, he's great. I think they're really responding well to him. You know, Sam is a really funny guy. There's some stories I can say and can't say on the radio, but I will say that they seem to really, really be enjoying how he's approaching the offensive linemen. You know, that's a group there now that I thought really got stale under Bobby Petrino. You know, back in Matt's day, I think about, you know, guys like Stephen Parker and Jeremy Harrell, guys like that, just tough-nosed guys. And I think Arkansas lost a little bit of that, you know, under Petrino, guys that would just line up and enjoy running over you and getting you out of the way. I think he's that type of guy, you know, that will come in and ask them to be more physical, and I think they've responded well to that so far.
Obviously, a week from Saturday is a big weekend. It's the last practice that they'll have this spring, the red-white game. Talk about some of the recruits that are going to be in Fayetteville for the spring game.
Hey, I'll start with basketball. We got one coming in today, right? Jamal Jones.
Yes.
Starts his official visit at Arkansas today, 6'8", 190 shooting guard, small forward, whatever you want to call him, out of Lee Community College in Baytown, Texas. Obviously, most people know the backstory on him. Out of Searcy, Arkansas, signed with Ole Miss in 2011. Really didn't work out well for him there. He got dismissed in early 2012. He'll be here this weekend. He's down to five schools, Arkansas, A&M, Oregon, TCU, and San Diego State. And, again, guys, I have to feel good about Arkansas's chances there. We're not expecting a commitment or anything solid this weekend. He still wants to take a few more visits, but I really feel good about Arkansas's chances there. As far as football, they've got a big offensive lineman out of Dallas coming in this weekend, Javon Pruitt, 6'5", 275, offensive tackle. Visited Arkansas last fall, seemed to really enjoy it. He's got a top five, Alabama, Arkansas, Baylor, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech. So really big that you know, he's even coming back for another visit.
And we got some new news that just came in on Twitter that McCann, hits a walk-off three-run home run to lift the Hogs past LSU in game two. Is that right? Are they not playing right now?
No.
Maybe I just made that
up. They don't start till Friday.
Maybe I'm making stuff up today.
Are you just reading things over there?
There we go.
Is that a prediction someone made for the weekend
there
or
was.
Something?
Oh, there I see. It's 2011. They're giving some old school
Jones
info. Yeah, there we go.
I mean, hey, earlier today on the Zone, we had Big Baby talking about Ben Crenshaw made a hole-in-one at the Masters on number 8 today.
Which that would be a great shot if somebody did that.
It's impossible. 8 is a par 5.
It would have to hit the cart path, probably.
And Crenshaw hadn't even played 5 yet. So how can he – what's he going to play 4 and then jump to 8?
He could.
Let's go to Chuck in The Rock. Chuck, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Thank you. Want to vote on the golf courses.
Want to vote on the golf courses. All right. Diamante in Hot Springs Village or the Country Club of Little Rock, where would you rather play?
CCLR. It's got the best view from the Capitol to Maumelle, or to Pinnacle.
It's got some nice views.
It's the hardest golf course to score on in the state.
It's tough, I will tell you that.
You don't want to get in the rough at that course.
No.
Oh, no, not since they've redone it.
The Blessings or Pleasant Valley?
PV.
All righty.
But CCLR is still harder than PV.
Well, and you don't have a
they've
you don't ever
get
have
to
a,
tomorrow first.
A level lie out there.
No, you
like.
Don't.
Well, yeah. No, go back and look at the amateur championships. CCLR is always 10 shots harder than PV.
It is.
Yep.
You're exactly right. Thank you, Chuck.
All righty. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Danny, we're in the final four of our golf courses bracket, and we've got Diamante going against Country Club of Little Rock and the Blessings against Pleasant Valley Country Club. So
nice.
We're trying to get down to the championship matchup tomorrow. On the Friday of the Masters, we'll have our championship. So,
hey, I'll vote right now for – I think NWA needs some help, so
there
put me down for the Blessings.
I like
okay.
it.
And then between Diamante and Hot Springs Village or Country Club of Little Rock?
Like I know. I'll
you
go got to
vote for one.
Okay.
You got to vote for one.
There we go. So that's 4-3, Diamante over CCLR, and then the Blessings against PV is 3-4 with PV up one vote.
Danny, Bobby Portis is in the Bronx. He will be playing in the Jordan Brand Classic. We were able to talk to you last Thursday right after the McDonald's All-American game, and I think a lot of people were surprised at what they saw in Bobby Portis. This is another one of those all-star games, but then it's next weekend out in Portland at the Nike Hoop Summit where I think we will really know more about what Bobby Portis is going to be like at the University of Arkansas when he faces a little bit stiffer competition. And they're actually – it's not an all-star game out there like this is right. Saturday in the Bronx.
Yeah. Hey, I would expect Bobby to do well, you know, regardless of where he goes. And I mean, as far as camps and all these different events, I just believe he's the real deal. That's just my opinion, not trying to be biased for Bobby or anything like that, but – everything he's done to this point so far leads me to believe that this guy's the real deal. He's actually truly one of the top players in the country, and Arkansas is very fortunate to have him.
Yeah, I agree with you. The one thing I loved about his game, the McDonald's All-American game, was his intensity he played with, his effort he played with in an all-star game, and I think that will help him in this Jordan World Classic is because they're actually going to give him the ball when he post up. I don't think the first 5 or 6 possessions, he posted up twice good post
and never
up,
saw the ball.
Had the guy on his back and the guards weren't going to give it to him. So I'll be excited to see what he actually does when it's a one-on-one situation. He gets the guy on his back and see him go to work.
Hey, I'm with you. Everybody wants to drive the basketball anymore if you're a guard, so maybe they'll get it down low to him.
And, Danny, you talked earlier about you don't think that Jamal Jones will commit this weekend. Why do you say that?
Well, he told me earlier in the week, and I've asked him, you know, a couple times now, and that he's sticking to that story that, hey, I just want to take some visits. I think Texas A&M means a lot to him. You know, they've been recruiting him the hardest for the longest. So, you know, Arkansas has been recruiting him, you know, for quite a while. but they didn't offer until, you know, here recently, a few weeks ago. So I think A&M means a lot to him, you know, that loyalty there. So expect him to take a couple of more trips, but in the end, I really feel good about Arkansas. I think he's an Arkansas kid who always wanted an Arkansas offer, and he's finally got it. So he may enjoy the process a little bit, but in the end, I think it'll be good news for Coach Anderson.
All right, Danny. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Have a good one.